Blog Talk Radio.
Too. I want to say hello to all our friends out there, all our friends that are tuning in later. Hope you enjoy the show. Remember, the show is nothing unless you join us. You want to start off or you want me to jump off here a little bit?
I'll go ahead and give your...
I appreciate that. A lot of people talk to us about motorcycle helmet repeal.
Well, before you do that one,
what?
Before you do that one, let's talk about this one.
You want to do yours first. I
well,
just asked you
reason,
you want to do yours
reason,
first. You
well,
said go ahead.
I know. But
now I start. Now you want to go ahead. No, go, that's fine. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
That's only because this is about the repeal thing.
Yeah.
Okay? But what I wanted to say was, I in California, last weekend,
yeah,
and this weekend, Bill, okay, the newest one I got is from Turlock.
Northern California.
Northern California.
Yeah.
They're going to have motorcycle safety patrols in Turlock. If you're riding a bicycle in, or motorcycle in Turlock on Saturday, it'd be a good idea to pay all the laws. They'll have extra patrols throughout the day, solely enforcing motorcycle safety and related laws. Okay? Now,
yeah.
Your interpretation... And my interpretation and their interpretation are three different interpretations.
Exactly.
So whatever I do and then you do it,
mm-hmm.
they might get me but not you.
Yeah. It's selective enforcement almost.
Exactly.
How they
it's
view
selective.
How you view.
Not selective. They'll be cracking down on traffic violations made by motorcyclists and drivers of other vehicles that can lead to motorcycle collisions, injuries, and fatalities. Why do they say that about cars first? Why do they always have to put motorcycles first? Today's high fuel prices and congested roadways make motorcycles very attractive to many people. Turlock Public News, the safety
unit.
14 million of these people fail to get the proper training. Well, there was a guy at work, I told you about it, about that bike he had tried to get fixed.
Yeah.
Well, he bought a new one Friday and Saturday. He said somebody made a left turn in front of him, but he don't remember nothing. He broke all his ribs. So what does that tell you about? Get the fucking brakes to
I would say there's damage on that. Because
he's not a good rider.
Yeah. What the heck? You got to go outside. Oh, you keep talking. You.
I got a pit bull that wants to join us. Can you get him outside? Go ahead.
Don't break everything. He's all caught up in him. Whoa. He's on. Hang on. I'm going to break everything now. We're just talking here for a second. And we had a visitor here. Big white pit bull that goes anywhere he wants to go. He's been a critic of the show for many years now, but.
Outside.
You know, talk about these safety laws. Let's remind everybody, you're coming up to a crosswalk. You have the solid line. You must keep your front wheel behind that front line. That is an easy ticket to pick up. And I want to talk to also cops that pull somebody over the side of the road, they got the lights flashing.
Right.
You need to try to get off that lane, get away from them. That could be another easy ticket for you to get.
Right, because a lot of people don't remember, Bill. No. Flashing lights means slow down.
That's right.
And merge over when it's safe to do so. If not, it's a $500 ticket.
Yeah. You have to follow the tickets all the time. What's sad, though, is we also have selective enforcement. Some areas of California, some cities, they're more concerned about it, and other cities aren't so concerned about it, you know?
That's correct.
So same thing like that knife thing we're talking about.
The same thing.
We have a law in California. However, Los Angeles says it has its own special law. No,
every because they gave every city, town, municipality
There you
exactly.
Go. Okay, we got it. There you go.
Their own way to do it. So like I said last week, whatever's good here, in Carlsbad it could be wrong. Vista,
right.
It's okay. Solana Beach, it's not. San Diego, it's okay. So El Cajon, it's not. So it goes on and on.
I remember 10 years ago there was a crazy law right here in Oceanside. You could not have an open belt primary. But the very next town down is Vista, no
mm-hmm.
problem whatsoever. So if you're actually just cruising into that town, you get a ticket. You go back into the next town, you're okay. So it's really, I'm not trying to make anybody paranoid out there, but you got to start finding out what's going on in your town.
Exactly. Because if you don't, what happens here on the West Coast is going to happen on the East Coast and vice versa.
So you heard that little girl, she got off there, the one that killed her child? They decided she was not guilty?
Oh, then we want to talk to those.
I don't even want to give that bitch any airtime. I don't give her a statement. I want the statement to go out there. She had the worst attorney I'd ever checked up on. He had no credibility, and yet the prosecuting attorney, which had all kind of people, they blew that case every which way there was. I'm not trying to say right or wrong. I'm saying they had a great case, and they couldn't prove nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we all talk about children. We get a little emotional, but I think the lawyers should be graded. In this case, I think the prosecuting
lawyers...
I
don't want to go off on lawyers, but we got...
We need them now and then.
That's true. We have... Teddy Fleck, he hasn't been around for a while, but he's saying hello from Missouri, Bill.
Missouri.
Yeah. And then our buddy in Poway says, how come motorcycle safety is ticketing motorcyclists, not stopping all motorcycle or making all motorcyclists
mm-hmm.
safer? Excuse me, not making all motorcyclists safer from car drivers.
Mm.
Well, now you know why I carry a ball-peen hammer, Art.
I'm sorry, I was adjusting something. Was Art asking me to sing something?
No, not yet.
Art, were you asking me to sing something?
No. Now, go ahead.
All right, then, okay. Because Art doesn't want me to sing.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be so pro last week. Please sing, please sing. I want to talk about a little article.
Yeah, Moon River.
You got a smart ass to that guy. You know that? Anyway, I read a little thing from Southern California edition of Baker Information Guide. This is from the August issue. And I want to talk about a little article Douglas Finley made, and I thought it was kind of interesting. We hear it all the time. They'll never repeal the helmet law. Well, there's a little more to it than that. They will never repeal the helmet law because they don't have a good reason to. And who are they? Our state legislators, of course. Sure, you know plenty of reasons why they should restore your right to decide. You write them well-crafted letters telling them why the helmet law should be repealed. But all of your reasons important to you, not to them.
Right.
Them being the legislators.
Hey, we got an important caller, Bill. I want to interrupt you for a second.
I'll stop that. I guess the helmet law is not that important. Don't just stop reading it then. Brenda, is that you out there tonight?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
We're interrupting a special on the helmet law repeal just to talk to you. Apparently, Screwdriver must have thought I was getting a little dry and boring. You want to hear your voice instead of mine.
Well, you know, first off, I have to congratulate you guys on what a good show you guys are doing and getting the word out on things like this helmet law and other things and bringing up some really great topics for us to talk about. It's people like you that get the word out and take the time and effort to do it and really make a difference. You know, it's awesome. A lot of people talk, but few people do, you know, so congrats on such a good show.
We are especially on it tonight.
Will
you walk on me all the time? No wonder I can never get two words in it. I want everybody to know who this lady is.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead now. You
okay.
tell me who she
is. Okay, what I wanted to say, Brenda, is we talk about bikers' rights, we talk about helmet issues, we talk about tickets, we talk about lawyers, and we talk about deadbeats, we talk about non-sufficient funds for checks, we talk about basically everything.
Illegal stops, how to protect yourself, et cetera, et cetera. We do have people, and I like to talk about Brenda for a second because she's a role model for so many women. Brenda is not concerned about her being a man or a woman. Brenda accepts the fact she's a woman. Now she's going up doing everything she can do, movies, radio, shows, everything I've ever talked to her about she's doing. I would like for a lot of people to read up on Brenda Fox, find out about who this girl is, and accept the challenge she's laid down. This girl is not afraid to try anything.
Nope.
I see her at all the shows. We consider her a friend. Not an ounce of ego or attitude.
No.
She's always there shaking hands to talk to people. And I hope more and more young women
can find role models for people like Brenda. Are you comfortable with that? Am I pushing it too thick, Brenda?
I just have to inhale and relax as I hear that. But I really appreciate the acknowledgement to the both of you. You know, when I really paid my dues in a male-dominated field, and now to become the largest female social media in the United States is huge to me, and I did it when I was quite sick. And for me, it isn't a matter of gender. I get asked this question a lot, you know, and to me, the stuff that I really, really love are things that bypass gender, economic brackets, that are just so cool. Like, I have a friend, Connie Beavers, hot blonde, about 5'10", consistently goes over 200 miles an hour. Oh, wait, did I mention she's 71 years old? Didn't start riding until she was 65. Great granny of 14 running nitrous? Ha! That's just the type of stuff I love, you know. It bypasses. It's just cool. It's just so cool. And, you know, along with that, I think, and one of the things that really resonates with your show is being in motorcycles for so long, you know, way back from when doing the score off road racing to training with Freddie Spencer and all these things really paying your dues, there always has been a common unsaid rule, because you didn't need to say it, of respect and common decency to other bikers. Keeping your word, honoring your word, and this type of thing. And it's weird to me to be in 2011 and cross paths with supposedly people in the biker world who have no concept what that is. And I know I've been talking to a lot of people about, you know, your words, your bond, and without that, you have nothing. And right. I got to ask you, Bill, what happened? what happened? I got some woman giving me her word and bad checks and all this stuff, and my respect for myself would be so mortified if I ever did that. And I just do not understand someone who can look you in the eye, write you a check from an account that probably never had the money in it to start with, and call herself the big biker awareness person. Am I missing something?
And then every now and then we all come across somebody that kind of throws the snow over all of us, but cannot allow somebody else to change who you are. Cannot allow the fact that you've done so much good that every now and then intermittently run across somebody that has no respect for other people.
You know, I'm going to have to go for no respect of self, because I just don't know how someone could do that to one another. I just don't get it. And one of the things that I have loved about motorcycling, and I really find it down there in San Diego, was more of a sense of a brotherhood or a sisterhood, whatever it is that you want to call it, but it was more of a unity, because we're passionate about two wheels, and we're passionate about motorcycles, and we're passionate about our freedom. So anyways, yep, I had a motorcyclist drop a big turd my way. Well, I don't even know if it is a motorcyclist, but yeah, I just don't quite get it. So, anyways.
Well, we'll all keep that in the back of our minds. So let me ask you a question, deviate very slightly, because you're trying to talk about a unisex, a unigender, the fact that the motorcycle world, but there is a spot for strong women.
Absolutely.
And you are a role model to many of the younger girls, and many of the older girls, too, for what you've done and all that. Are you comfortable having the women coming up to you, talking to you about this?
Oh, absolutely. And I tell you what happened, Bill. I went through about 3 years ago, going on 4 years, I got really, really sick, like really sick. And it was the first time in my life I didn't know what to do, because from a young child, I've always known what to do, And I felt that inner strength light kind of flicker. And it didn't flicker, it got dim, like real dim, like so dim you don't want to realize it's that dim. And what happened, Bill, was for about 3 years, I crawled and I struggled to find the strength to pull myself up by my bootstraps, and those boots happened to be motorcycle boots. So when these women come up to me and they're talking to me about how motorcycling, maybe they're interested in it, or or maybe they're intimidated or there's a fear factor, which I totally understand. I actually consider it, you know, it's an honor and a privilege for me to be talking to these women. And I really appreciate the platform I have, and I hold it in high respect and high regard.
You know, what I like about the fact is I've heard other people say that you tell people, first of all, be yourself. Be
Absolutely.
True to yourself.
Love
you
yourself.
You are a good business person. You're an attractive lady and all that. But that's who you were to begin with. You're not telling people, make yourself up fancy. You're not telling people, run off the gym, grow giant weights, and grow big muscles. You're saying, be who you are with yourself. And then if the motorcycle sport, if this is calling you, you'll fit in. By the way, do you know that July is the motorcycle, Women's Motorcycle Month in New York? I was just reading that real quick.
Well,
you girls got your own motorcycle month now.
Well, every month is Women's Motorcycle Month. So
Yeah,
of course it is. Every month is.
July is Women's Motorcycling Marketing Month.
Marketing, yeah.
Yeah. And you know what, Bill, you also bring up a good point. What I do find and what I really encourage with regardless of what you're doing, I don't care if you're riding a bike or I don't care if you're riding a horse looking at zebras, you got to be yourself. Don't try to be someone else. I know I crossed paths with these women who were, you know, riding these 9-foot choppers, a Big Bear chopper, bright red with a chrome helmet and spikes on it, and thinking that, you know, hey, you know, it's either my way or no way. And you know what? Everybody is great. They're all great. The woman riding a Honda Rebel is cool. The woman riding a Honda or, you know, a Sportster is cool. If you love it, that's awesome. Do what you love, whatever that might be.
Let me tell you one small story, how I love to say that. On one of my trips, I don't know where I was going. I was going somewhere. So I was in Colorado. I don't know. A guy came in from the Midwest with his brother on 2 650 Yamahas. I was at a KOA campground back in the day. He said, he drove around once. He goes, hey, man, you mind if I join you? I said, pull right next to me. A little later, we had a guy from and a girl from Canada rode down on the Yamaha 650. They rode around the campground and said, hey, man, do you mind if we join you? They joined us. And then we had a guy and his daughter from New York came in a BMW, rode around the campground and said, hey, guys, do you mind if we join you? Now, we're total strangers. We're all sitting down. Within minutes, we're sharing stories about the road and fun and everything. In the morning, we shared our food. In the morning, everybody got up, we said goodbye. I believe only in motorcycles do you have this special camaraderie where you can just sit down and say, hey, how you doing? And yet we don't have to deal with this barroom bullshit talk. Hey, my Kawasaki's better than your Yamaha, my Harley's better than your Victory or anything. That's bar talk. You meet motorcycle riders on the road, there's the real people. And I know you ride your bike, so I know you can agree on that.
You know, Bill, you're absolutely right. And when I was a custom motorcycle consultant for Rob Report magazine, what was really interesting was I got asked a lot, you know, I had to, people wanting me to pick a team, pick a side, you know, are you a Harley person or you're a sport bike girl? And it's funny how aggressive and some people get with this. And I can remember a guy who was actually giving me quite a hard time. I mean, I love all two wheels. Heck, I like a bicycle. I love riding. And I can remember he was just really, you know, you either got to like that Ducati or you have to like that Harley. And I said, well, geez, actually, to be honest with you, my favorite bike is a Vincent Black Shadow. Where do I put that? Where do I put that in the mix? And the guy didn't even know what it was. And
wow,
was
that
like,
was like
yeah,
a
what a moto buzzkill. This guy isn't even worth the conversation. So, you know, I think when people are judgmental like that, what it does is it really gives me an opportunity to be grateful that God gave me a really good sense of humor. You know,
you're right. Sense of humor, that gets us through everything. And you know what? One thing I like about you, and it holds true for me and Philip, I don't mind people laughing with me, and I will laugh with people. I never want to embarrass anybody and make other people laugh at them. I know I've seen you make people laugh at you. I've been on stage, people laughing with me. It's okay. I don't want to embarrass anybody else.
No, it is okay.
That's what I'm saying. So I like so much of what she does with that.
Yeah.
She's not afraid to say, you know, hey, this or that, and people laugh. She's making fun of herself a little bit, and that's okay. That's a sincere, confident person where they can laugh with you, not at you.
You know, Bill, I think a lot of that is being comfortable with yourself. And I can remember when I was riding, and particularly I was going for jobs, motorcycle jobs, and women as a culture, I mean, even if you step out of the motorcycle arena, there sadly, as a cultural thing, there happens to always be that group of mean girls. And I can remember the mean girls. I was a professional model at a very young age, and I can remember, and I was such a tomboy, but, you know, I'd be so excited about, I don't care if it was riding a horse, riding a motorcycle, hell, I didn't care what I was wearing, I just wanted to get out and ride. So I went into, like, the whole fashion thing, or I got to look a certain way, or I got to have a fringe this and that to go ride a bike. I was all for the joy and the love of doing it. And it was interesting, some of the barriers that came my way or what came my way, and I didn't like it. And I think one of the reasons that I became the largest women, well, I got men too. I'm at a 60-40% ratio, but on social media was because I started embracing everybody. And a lot of that came with when you're comfortable in your own skin, you know, the ride just gets much better. Just gets much better.
Hang on a second.
Hey, Brenda, we have a question that someone's asking if men can join your site. And
absolutely.
You just answered it for them at 60-40.
Here's the other thing that's kind of cool. Even though it's called Women Motorcyclists, now, you know, I got some really hot, sexy mamas on there. And if I was a guy, I would rather be riding with some gal who's maybe, you know, sporting a perfume of Chanel and two-stroke fumes versus perhaps, his buddy with no teeth he's been riding with for years. You know, I think that women riders upgrade the scenery, and men that appreciate that, right on, right on. But you know what? The other thing I also, too, want to stress for women riders is to be skilled. I mean, have some good skills and ride well. And that, to me, bypasses gender. It's one of the things I'm so passionate about. And I know from my race history and I was always involved in that, and I never really thought that much of it. It was always about getting a trophy and winning. And if a woman is riding, educate yourself. I mean, represent well. I mean, don't be like, and the women are going to hate me for saying it, but I'm going to say it. I got these women who are texting and driving and putting on their makeup and drinking their Starbucks when I'm on my bike. And when I see a bad woman driver or motorcyclist, it just irritates me. It's like, regardless if you're going to do it well. It's number one, be safe, do it well, and enjoy the ride.
And you know what I tell women getting into the motorcycle scene? You do not have to be a mechanic. We have motorcycle shocks that they can fix it. You need to be aware this is your motorcycle. This is your responsibility. Learn to do a pre-flight inspection and a post-flight inspection. Take a look at your tires every couple of weeks. Check your air. Go over your motorcycle. Anybody can teach you the basic skills, and I believe most dealerships will send a small class on that. I encourage women, be more comfortable. Therefore, you will not be afraid of the motorcycle. Everybody's going to break down. That's not an issue. Shit happens,
yep.
As they say.
It's like
the women that run out of gas, and you go and you help them, and all of a sudden you turn it on reserve, and the bike starts up, and you ask them, what do you think the R is for, rocket?
No.
You know, one of the changes I've seen, and Bill, I don't know if you've noticed this in your shop, is because I literally grew up, my dad was a big deal motorcycle racer, and so from a very young age, I grew up on a gas tank. And so I never had any kind of intimidation factor, or I had more of a comfort zone, because when I was growing up, the motorcycle races were on Sunday. And if I was good, I could go to the motorcycle races on Sunday. If I was bad, I had to go to church, and church scared me. So I always associated the motorcycle races were always a really good, you know, I was a good kid, I could go to the races. And what I find a lot of women saying is they're just uncomfortable walking into a motorcycle shop and with whatever their issue is. And I'm like, you know what? Get over it. Go in there. Make them your friend.
Ask the question.
Yeah.
Ask the question. You're so right about that. I want to just briefly mention, I don't want to get too technical, but Kennedy's Custom Cycles, I stress the fact the importance of the Kennedy Triangle. The correct handlebar is the correct seat and the correct foot pegs for the ladies. We have different body. And I also like to tell women, because they say, well, the front end's too heavy.
You just like to put your hands on them when they're sitting on a bike. Tell the truth.
I need to point out, like, your wrist, your elbow, and your shoulder, how turning the handlebars one way or the other can take the pain or cause pain to your shoulder by something like having a stirrup on your foot peg to take the pressure maybe off your hip. All of your injuries are connected. I tell women, if you're uncomfortable with the motorcycle, probably you don't have the right handlebar seat and foot peg. If you're a passenger, and I got a lot of friends of mine, I won't say any dealership's name, authorized dealerships, that bring their wives and girlfriends down, she doesn't like riding the bike anymore. Well, maybe the seat is wrong, the foot pegs are wrong, or the backrest is wrong. You might need to adjust the seat to fit you. I encourage women, get more educated, be more part of the program. The more you put into the motorcycle, the more personal satisfaction you will get. I guarantee that.
As you well know, Brenda.
You know what, Bill? You bring up a really good point. And because we are in the motorcycle world, and some of these things might seem like common sense to us, what I forget is when I step out and I got my gal who works at MAC Cosmetics now coming in, she might not be aware of that. And I honestly, when I have my new website up, which frankly would have been up had I not received the bad check that bounced, by the way, I would like to put a video up of that. I think the Kennedy Triangle, I've never heard that. That is an excellent point that you bring up. And I have a lot of promo images of me riding these very, very expensive choppers, and I'm riding with one arm, and everybody thinks it's cool. Well, let me tell you, Bill, most of the time I'm riding with one arm because I can't reach the handlebars. It's a promo shot, and it's not as cool as it looks. And being comfortable and safe is the number one thing. Absolutely, and I think that's excellent. The Kennedy Triangle, that's awesome. I've never heard of that. Perfect.
One's ever. About 15 years ago, I started reading a lot of reports from Volvo, the car people. While they're making a generic car to go around the world, you've got to fit your personality and your physical limitations into it. That's why there are more adjustments, and that's when I started realizing. You, of course, know my brother, Pat Kennedy, one of the best bike builders in the world.
Absolutely.
I realized that being great looking is not what's going to do for long rides. So I started looking about ankles, hips, knees, and all that. And I have so many people come down, and I never charge for this here. I needed people come down to understand, if you want to be a bar biker, I'm not here to badmouth you. You can build anything you want. You can ride. If you want to go on rides, I tell them, come by. I never charge. Let me show you how a few adjustments, simple matter of turning the wrist like in the Buckhorns, in, turn them like on super bars, turn the wrist out. Small thing like that could take some of the pain. Guy came in the other day, great pain in his tailbone. He had bars that were leaning back a little bit. All the weight was directly right in line, like the chi was straight up and down. I rolled the handlebars forward an inch beyond. He now is leaning slightly forward, took the pressure off the tailbone. He went off a ride, he came back. He said, for the first time, Bill, there's no pain in my body.
Wow.
I work with pain. We all have the pain. We ignore it. And the dealerships don't talk about this. They sell the newest foo-foo thing. My concern only is, how can I get men and women to realize, enjoy the motorcycle, but, for example, you're 6 foot tall. Well, maybe you're only 2 foot legs, 4 foot upper torso. People freak out about that. It's not about your height. It's about where do your legs fit on the motorcycle? Where's your upper torso fit on the bike? Do I need to move the seat forward a little bit? Do you need more?
You know,
I worry about women. Women's arms are not as strong as their backs, so I like a little lumbar support. A lot of girls down this area like to run solo seats or just when they crack, throw the slide almost on the rear fender.
Mm-hmm.
You're not giving the body strength, especially a woman who does not necessarily have the upper torso strength. Giving a little lower lumbar support on the back helps the back. The back helps the shoulders. And then I tell them if they like a very small windshield, one that goes below your chin, now you've taken the pressure off your chest. These are all important things if you want to ride any distance. And the people that have been taking more and more rides, they come back and say, Bill, you've given so much good advice, it made the trip more comfortable. So I try to share all I can. Because I'm not the same thing you do, brother. You share with everybody, so I know that.
Yeah, but you know what, Bill? I think a team and a network of people that are aligned with the same vibe is awesome because you bring up such great points. And you know, you're in your Southern California location, and I certainly want to get this out where my website's international because some of these things that we're talking about are They sound really basic, but also what you're doing with this guy with the bad back is you're showing him a possibility that maybe he just completely forgot. And I
yes,
know
never know about it. This is something I want to tell you, and I know you know this. A lot of girls, they buy Road Kings or they buy Fat Boys. Oh, the front end is so heavy to turn. I say leave it on the kickstand. Turn the handlebars all the way to the right until it clinks. Now, once it makes a little contact, now pick the bike up. The bike will pick itself up. I see girls fighting or girls on dressers trying to fight it.
Yep.
No, leave it on the kickstand. Turn the wheel all the way to the right until it smacks. And once it is, then pick the bike up. The bike will lift itself up. I have so many girls said they were going to quit riding. And now I said, Bill, I'm not afraid of it. All these little techniques are what we need to share to the world so they appreciate riding the bike even better.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I think another good point that you brought up, like your brother, very, very well-respected, amazing custom bike builder, and people see these bikes and they think, oh, that's what I want. However, I think, you know, one of the things you mentioned is what is the application? If you're going to be riding cross-country, trust me, that ridge that I was riding, I left my kidney and spleen on the 405 freeway, and I don't think I've ever found them again. I mean, that was not the bike that you wanted to be cruising, you know, across country. So, and it's interesting because these seem like common sense kind of basic questions, but sometimes just bringing it to the awareness, and particularly for women that are new riders, I think this is such great information, and I'm certainly going to want to put it up on my new site when it's up. Excellent. Yeah, excellent point.
I want to point out to you now, because my brother Mike Kennedy and I just, we work on Harleys only, the girls that come to my shop and the new riders, they're riding all kind of motorcycles, metric, European, because they're saying, Bill, people in the street talk about ways you can help me. So this is not just for Harley riders. If you're on a girl down the street, Yamaha, she had beach bars on
mm-hmm.
this Yamaha.
Yeah.
She couldn't even reach them. But that's the way they came because the last guy owned it. We talked about making a few adjustments, and she's tickled pink now.
Yep.
So Yamaha, Kawasaki, Harley-Davidson, Ducati, it doesn't matter. You got to fit the bike to fit your basic needs and injuries, unfortunately. You know?
That's correct.
Well, I think the other thing is bringing up accessible shops where the women feel comfortable, because I know that I speak to a lot of women that are self-conscious and they don't want and they feel like, oh, gosh, I don't want to feel like an idiot. And, you know, if I go and I ask them about my pegs or my bars, and the very first thing I always tell them, I said, look, an idiot could be on the pavement from not asking. So this is safety that we're talking about, you know, and if you're not comfortable with the shop that you first went to, go to another one, because let me tell you, the economy for motorcycle industry took a big dive, and there's plenty of wonderful shops out there that want your business, they want to help, and they'll treat you with the respect that you should be treated with, and no question is too dumb.
A lot of times girls agree with their boyfriends, they both got motorcycles, and I can see the way the girl gets off the motorcycle. I need you just for 1 second. Touch your hip, touch your knee. I just need 1 second, and I know what the problem is in there. And I try to separate the girl from the guy if the guy is somewhat really overbearing, because she won't talk as open in front of him because the guy's supposed to know everything. I have him talk to one of my mechanics in the back, and her and I go outside. In 5 or 10 minutes, she is pouring out to me why she's uncomfortable on the bike. So, ladies, it's your bike. Ask the questions. If you've got an overbearing boyfriend, leave him at home. Let him deal with the handlebars that are too high or whatever you got going on. Find what's right for you. As Brenda's saying, we all ladies want to look right. It's not a fashion show, first of all. It's comfort. If you want to make Sturgis, you want to heck, even Las Vegas is 330 miles coming up a little bit. You got to be comfortable. I got guys coming to Vegas that can't open their right hand. Because they grab that throttle so hard, and I give demonstrations on that, how to do exercises with them.
There's so much, Bill. I have some women who maybe don't have clutch strength, and they always talk about that, and they're like, I didn't know there was an easier clutch. I didn't know these type of things. And so these are so many great points that you bring up. But the other thing that I really enjoy speaking with you is you acknowledge that hey, these are needs that are out there, and these are things that I address, but that's because you're old school, long term, been in the field for years, have seen these things, and I think it's important that the women connect with someone like that where they can feel comfortable And, you know, you can just glance at someone and go, oh, heck, my God, I'd be uncomfortable on that thing, you know? That guy looks like a flying squirrel with those ape hangers, you know? So,
people don't believe me. Just get your car or truck and push your seat all the way forward. See if you can drive it. Or push your seat all the way to the back. You adjust your cars to compensate for your size and your injuries. Adjust your motorcycle. It's the same thing. Or as Brenda says, the old days, the long, long, long choppers look really, really good. And my brother and I have been to Sturgis several times on our 40-over Springer suicides. That, you know, I was a lot younger, and the image look was everything. Now I'm at a point where I want more and more people to enjoy motorcycles, and we all are something different on that.
Well, you know, Bill, for me, I want my long, I want my bike that I could ride cross country and feel, I don't care if it looks like a Winnebago. And but also, I also want my radical custom bike that, sure, maybe I'm only going 5 miles in, but I like that one too. And I want my MV Agusta Brutale. I mean, I come from an expanded mindset where I love them all. They all have their own application. But the very good point you bring up is don't try to fit an apple into an orange spot or an orange into an apple spot. Realize what it is that you're doing with your bike, you know, and it, I think is a very important thing also.
Well, the other thing, if you can't pick it up, you shouldn't be riding it.
Yeah, you know, that's another good point. And also, what I find is some of these women see a real little tiny girl, and she's riding this Ultra. You guys have an awesome, awesome motorcycle safety instructor, Paula, in San Diego. And she's a short little thing, and she's driving an Ultra. But what she knows some of the tricks that Bill's mentioning. You know, turn your handlebars to the right. You know, nobody tells the other girls that. But there's, when you get the skill level and the confidence, if that's a route you want to go, you can do it as safe as possible. Educate yourself. Learn some of these tricks that Bill mentions. Have it lowered. Have it comfortable for you. Yeah, I really appreciate all the good points that you both are bringing up. It's excellent.
Well, you and I expand upon that more in the future and all that. So that's a good idea there, yeah. It's, by the way, are you going to be at the L.A. show, the Queen Mary show, in two Saturdays?
You know, I'm not sure, Bill. I have a tentative booking, but not until I have a contract and I'm paid up front and the check has cleared. Excuse me. Do I know for sure anything now? So I'm tentatively booked, and so I don't know if I will be attending that show, but I sure love all the custom bikes and going there. So if my check don't clear, I'll be there.
Brenda, may I ask you this? I got a question, and this has come up a little bit. I've been wanting to ask you alone, but obviously we're not alone now, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Now, my brother and I, we export bikes to Europe, Scandinavia, an awful lot. Since the tsunami hit Japan, I've not sold one bike in 5 months, but I'm selling a lot to Europe, like Scandinavia. I don't do contracts and all that. I do wire transfers bank to bank. And that I sit there, and the Europeans said, you know, we want on my website, we want this. They send we agree on a price, and they were transferred bank to bank. Within 24 hours, I know that money is solid. Maybe you could think about talking more people about setting the bank transfer up with you.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And, of course, I'll be dealing with the people that have real bank accounts, not bank accounts that were set up that probably never had the money to start with. So I appreciate that. That's a really good point.
You do anything within 24 hours. It takes less than that, but I always give people 24 hours, and my bank calls me, Mr. Kennedy, X number of dollars was in your account, blah, 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 whatever country. I know exactly what it was. It would take a lot of less of the pressure on you, because you're a businesswoman, you're this, you're that, you know, there's a lot of things you need to deal with, and trying to get the money, sometimes that just affects the soul out of us. So for me,
you know,
it's water transfer.
I have never, and I deal with bookings and speaking engagements and commercials. I mean, I have never, ever had someone ask me to host their event as a favor, cut my price when I arrive, and are in all this conversation, I love you, thank you for hooking me up, you're doing more than I expected, blah, 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 I love you, blah, blah. And the agreement and the trust in the agreement of I'll pay you when you arrive, and then, oh, I forgot my check. Please, 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 please. So it isn't the I have never until now ever had someone not honor their agreement. And now, of course, yes, you bring up some great points about wire transfers and this and that. And but I think this is more of a I've never crossed paths with someone just unethical like that, ever.
No. There are people out there that take advantage of good people. It's a fact. So I always tell people the reason I do wire transfers, of course I love you. Of course I trust you. Absolutely. And my bank report, call me tomorrow. It just worked out much better because my customers are like halfway around the world. So, you know, and if I'm selling 10 motorcycles at once to Europe, that's a big chunk. So it just takes the pressure off and keeps the friendship growing.
Yeah, well, I love them more when their checks when their checks clear. So that's the type of love I now like. Now I'm going to start loving. I love you when your money's transferred. Yep, yep.
So, guys, do you want to take a question or two?
Brad, you got a minute?
Absolutely.
We have some questions, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Philip, who do we got want to talk to?
We got somebody calling from a Skype. Hello? Hello. Hello?
Hello?
I guess they just want to listen. Hello, caller.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, how you doing? What's up, Art?
Not much, just listening to the show, enjoying it.
Got any questions for Brenda?
No, actually, I like her. I like listening to her, and I like her attitude about it. Like you know, the nerve. If your face is in the wind and you're having fun, life is good. I like that attitude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just get out there and ride.
I do want to point out to you that I know Brenda for a while, and I really like Brenda, but I'll give you a tip. Don't put your pink slip up in a race against Brenda, or you'll be walking home.
That's like...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's like with Coyote from the Saddle Tramps. He rides a bagger.
Uh-huh.
Guys always give him a hard time about riding a bagger. And that's usually he'll listen to it for a few minutes, and he goes, put your pink slip up and let's go run him. So it's kind of a warning sometimes, you know. Don't trust them old people. They'll sucker you in.
Well, Brenda's not any bit old at all, but she has the experience. Probably rides better than most men do. A lot of that is confidence and all that. What I'm so impressed about is that I know some of the women, I'm listening, they're not going to call in because they're a little uncomfortable, but I encourage people. Brenda, how can the people reach you a little bit?
Put it up right now?
Yeah,
put it up already.
Okay, because I want people to get to know you a little bit and be comfortable, because not everybody's comfortable talking to cold turkey. I don't know who I'm talking to, but there are people who I think are inspirational, who I think can lend a hand to somebody. And sometimes it's just saying, you know what, I'm doing this, and you can do it yourself. And that's the message I've always got from Brenda.
That's correct.
Absolutely. And, you know, I had a really interesting experience happen. I was riding Roland Sands had given me one of his promo bikes, and I'm one of the only females in the United States who was paid to ride these custom bikes, and it sounds like it's really cool, but the responsibility is huge. So I had one of Roland Sands. It was his, I can't even think of the name. Junkyard Dog. I'm riding Junkyard Dog. It has a Ducati clutch in it, you know, so it has that sound. And just so happens, I'm going around to different celebrities, and I'm getting a breast cancer jacket signed, and I'm at Eric Dickerson's, the football guy's house. And Eric lives by me, and I pull up to his house, and there's a Can-Am Spyder in Eric's driveway. And I'm like, Eric's into golf. He's not into Can-Am Spyders. I'm like, Eric, what's this doing here? And just so happens, the PR girl for Can-Am happened to be, Eric was doing an Xbox computer game where these guys play live with like a pro football player. And so the PR gal is the same. And she sees me pull up on Roland's bike, and the first thing she does is she starts apologizing. And this, women will do this. They go, oh, God, you ride a Harley. I only ride a Honda. And it's just like, don't apologize. So the PR gal, she apologizes, and I said, well, geez, would you rather come out here in a car or this? And she says, oh, this. And she starts showing me some features and it has a trunk and she has all this stuff inside and an Xbox thing inside. And that just really started, that was cool. I had no idea. And it just so happened the very next day, I go to ride to the rock store. It's a Saturday. And I know if I pull Roland's bike up front and center, I'm going to get a huge crowd. I wasn't looking for that, so I'm parked down a ways. And then I have a guy at my gym I work out at, Jeff the Bully. Jeff the Bully, Affliction shirt, tattoos on his leg, so he has to wear shorts so you can be sure that you see the tattoos, cigar in his mouth, riding his Borget chopper, comes through, and the guy's a bully. I lost it for Jeff when he pulled a chair out of an old man who went to sit down at a Starbucks. And that, I was like, I got no respect for this guy. So here comes Jeff the Bully with his three guys who all look the same. They all got the shorts. They all got the leg tattoos. They all got the cigars. They all got the same drop seat Borget chopper. So to me, they kind of look like they had a uniform on, to be honest with you. And there's a man who, yeah, they all look the same. And a man who had pulled up on a Can-Am Spyder. And now, I had known nothing about Can-Am Spyders. Just so happened the day before, I just happened to meet the PR girl. And so there's Jeff the Bully. And Jeff the Bully, I mean, if this is a guy that will pull a chair out of an elderly man at Starbucks, he's just not a nice guy. So Jeff the Bully pulls up next to the guy who gets off the Can-Am Spyder. And, you know, if words are coming out of Jeff's mouth, they're not nice because that's who the guy is. And you see the guy on the Can-Am Spyder, you see his body language kind of just change. And you know Jeff isn't saying something nice to him. You know, that's a girl's ride, that's this, that's that. And a buddy of mine had called me, Malcolm Smith, famous off-road racer. Malcolm, and I'm telling Malcolm what's going on. And Malcolm's like, Brenda, go get Roland's bike. And I'm like, yeah. So I take Roland's bike. I bring Roland's bike right up next to the Can-Am. I start talking to the guy. I got a huge crowd. Huge crowd. Roland's bike, is with that Ducati clutch, it just brings it out everyone. And we're talking about how cool it is and this and that. And I'm looking at Jeff the Bully, who, of course, gets on his bike and rides off like the chicken he is. And one of the things I'm so passionate about with my platform is if my background in racing and my background in riding these bikes can stress how important any bike is and how whatever you're riding is good, that's absolutely what I want to do. And we certainly did it at the Rock Store with Jeff the Bully, and I would hope that these women can be happy with what they're riding. So many times you see the lady that gets a Sportster now, right after she just did the course. She just does the safety course. She just gets a Sportster, and then she starts apologizing because it's not a Road King. Well, let me tell you, you could be a six-foot guy on a Road King, and if you don't have the riding skills, you're in gravel and you're on an off-camber hill, that thing's going to go over. I don't care who you are. So,
Brenda, a while back, the Honda Goldwing riders in San Diego asked me to speak to them about the fact we all share the road, we all share the legislation. It's really one world for all motorcycles. And I was talking real generic, and it was blah, blah, blah. And I almost got off the stage, and this guy kind of hit me from the side. He goes, Mr. Kennedy, as an expert in your field, right away I know I'm in trouble. And I said, yes, sir, what? He goes, would you tell us honestly, what is the best motorcycle out there? 25 Honda Goldwings tripped out there in my Harley. And, well, I'm going to explain this to you so you'll never forget it. Would everybody in the room who has paid for their motorcycle and has the pink slip, please raise your hand. Leave your hand in the air. The rest of you people, look at those people that have a paid-off motorcycle. That's the best motorcycle in the world. And I walked off the stage. So please use that whenever you need to.
Absolutely. That I love that. I absolutely love that. Yep.
Because I know sometimes you're speaking, you get kind of bushwhacked, too. You get a question or two that you go, you know, they just wanted to know, well, Bill's a Harley rider. What's he really going to say? And I gave a little bit of humor, and I exited, and that's about the best way I could deal with that.
Yep.
I do not believe that I'm special because I have a Harley. I have a Harley because I want to ride a Harley. That's it. I don't want anybody else to ride a Harley because I ride a Harley. I don't care. I ride a Harley because I want to ride a Harley.
That's
I encourage people.
It's a weird mindset for me. I mean, I eat vegetables because I want to eat vegetables, not because I'm supposed to eat vegetables. So it's a weird mindset because I never have been one who thought I had to fit in the crowd. I've never been one who said, oh, I got to go get all my friends so we can all be the same. I embrace where we're different, and I fly my freak flag proudly. You know, if I'm weird about something, I love it. I love where I'm different, and I think that if you embrace where you're different instead of where you need to fit in, that the ride gets a lot smoother. You know, be happy with yourself makes you a happier person, regardless of what you're doing. But you're so right, Bill. So many people think, oh, you know, I have to be a Harley or something like this, and I've just never had that mindset ever.
No, and a lot of them are on the same mindset that if you own a Harley, you're made of money.
Yeah.
Well,
I want to give you one bit of advice, not that you need advice from me, but I want to share my advice with you. This may have come into you a little bit, or it may come in the future. If you do anything, there are people out there that do nothing that will criticize, critique you. If you do anything, there are people that do nothing that will critique you. Always remember that. Because more often than that, I'm getting people who say, no, I don't like the way you think this and that. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you ain't doing nothing about it. I'm on stage speaking, and, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you're not doing anything. So I want you to remember that because you're doing something, there are people who don't like you because they're doing nothing.
You know, in the stunt, I had a stunt coordinator, Gary Baxley, he always brought up to me, he said, look, he goes, when you start getting the books and shining, you know, you get on the radar screen. And one of the things, Bill, and I had a gal just real recently who was just evil with some of her maneuvers and really bashing me when I was sick. And what has been so interesting is how important I am in this girl's life. And so when these people are doing this type of stuff, it's really interesting if you realize how important you are that they're spending this much time and energy. I find it kind of flattering, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consider the source, right?
Yeah, well, the other thing, too, is when I haven't, in fact, I was just talking to a friend of mine, Andy McPhee, who is an actor on Sons of Anarchy, and I said, you know what, Andy, we have a database for actors, and I never did it because I was never really looking for work. I wasn't looking for the acting work, and I was always busy. And I was talking to him about getting myself on there and this and that. And when I look at the people that are bashing me, like I have one girl in particular, it's like, well, how many custom bikes has she been hired to ride? None. What has she done for bikers' rights? Nothing. You know, what racetracks has she ridden at? Nothing. And it's like, you know what, Bill? She's too dumb. I can't even have a conversation with her. So I'm grateful for people that find me that interesting that they have to say something that might not be positive. Doesn't bother me one bit, and I hope that the other women riders can be themselves with whatever that might be. You don't have to wear a certain thing, or I can remember the helmet deal. I'd get bashed because I was a professional model for years, and I didn't want my face looking like a leather shoe. That's me personally. That's my deal. And I'd go out on some of these bikes, and I might have a face shield or something because I did not want freeway. I did not want a 405 microdermabrasion experience. So I'd have my little helmet on, and it would maybe be covered. And I can remember people going, "Oh, that's not cool. That's not a skid lid." Well, sometimes I wear skids. I like choice. I have a variety of everything. Some women have shoes. I got helmets. You know, Sonoma yesterday, skidlid today. Doesn't matter to me. But the people that come out and thump me like that, that's them. And I hope the women realize that. You know, whatever works for you, whatever's comfortable for you, if skidlid works for you, you know, personally, I hate being told I have to wear a helmet. I would probably wear a full face helmet easier if I didn't have a law that I had to. So I think whatever it is,
have you gone for a ride with Andy yet?
Great, and do your own thing.
Brenda, I know you've met Andy for many social occasions. Have you gone for a ride with him yet?
Who's out? The phone cut out.
Yeah, Andy again?
Oh, Andy McPhee. What about him?
Yes, you going for a ride with him?
Oh, he
just met him socially at the event. I was saying that because he was at a shop a while ago, and Screwdriver and I, like, we have some kind of high-performance diners, blah, blah, blah. He shows up in a nice old soft tail, and we're talking about it. He's at my shop, and was this clutch combat or something?
No, it was something in the primary.
No, the primary. Anyway, he's saying that, you know, Bill, I'm up in Hollywood, and they got all these technical bikes and all that. He goes, I got my old soft tail, an early model soft tail. That's all I want, Bill. I'm comfortable with it. Not even high-performance paint. He goes, I have what I want because that's what I want. And I thought, good for you, Andy. Good for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I got to tell you, Bill, I've been helped. I've had access to a private ranch in Malibu that would blow your socks off. And the people there can buy anything. They can buy Southern California. I mean, these people, they could have anything they want. And what's interesting to them is when you're comfortable in your own skin, like exactly what I heard from you were talking about Andy there, is you do what works for you. These people, some of them ride in two horrible rat bikes yesterday. Now, this guy could buy my whole street easily at the drop of a hat. And, you know, it's the guys are just comfortable with who they are and what they are, so they don't need to prove anything to anybody.
When you can get over the fact of trying to impress other people, when you get to the point where you say, I'm comfortable in doing what I want to do, a lot of times I get criticism from a lot of bike clubs that come in. They say, Bill, this is our club look. We all got to look the same. I say, but you'll have different injuries. Doesn't matter, Bill. We got guys 6'6". We got guys 5'7". We all have to have mid controls instead of forward controls. And I try to point out to them, why do you have to look like the person next to you?
Yeah.
You should find your own space.
Find your own niche.
Yeah, we try to talk about that. Of course, I understand the need for club and all that stuff, but you've got to find what's right for you. What I've liked about Brenda Fox, she's not sold herself up. She's saying,
no.
This is who Brenda is. Like me or don't like me. All the years I've known you, I've never once felt that you've been phony pretentious with me ever. The day we first met.
Me either.
You're good people.
No,
yeah.
Me either.
Well, I appreciate hearing that, and you know what? One of the things I've done from a very, very young age is I know about hard work. I worked hard for everything I have. When I was coming up the ranks of the male-dominated field, and before I can remember when I was riding one of Mondo from Denver's Chopper's bikes, and I just, when I was young, I think it must have been about 18 when I bought my first Harley. It was a Harley Sportster. People literally would not sit by me, would not walk on the same side of the road that I was on because I was that girl with the motorcycle. And the funniest thing is I'm such a health freak and, you know, I was like the furthest thing from what they thought I was. And then you fast forward about 4 years ago, I'm doing a music video. We have a motorcycle for Pink, the singer, Alicia. And it was one of Roland's bikes and he just raced it at Willow Springs. And Bill, I looked like a hooker. I had on these thigh-high Jimmy Choo boots. I had a blonde wig on. I look skanky. And I got this radical bike, awesome bike. And Roland's like, yeah, Brenda, you know, keep it for a week or two. So from the studio to where I live is really close, maybe like 5 exits away. So I'm like, oh, right on. And so I go to take the bike, and Roland ran it at Willow Springs. And there was something funky in the carburetor, and the bike craps out. Oh, God, I look like a hooker. I'm on the side of the road. You know, get it back started. And right when I'm coming down my off-ramp, the bike just dies in the parking lot of a grocery store. Well, next thing I know, here comes a Bentley, gray-haired old lady in this Bentley. And she's like, ma'am, can I get my picture taken with you? And not only did Miss Gray Hair, Blue Hair, wonderful old lady, do a picture. She helped me push that bike. And I look like the skankiest hoe you could ever imagine. So times really have changed. They really have changed. And I'm so happy to see it. Yeah.
We have a person that texts us from Tennessee. And Screwdriver, she doesn't want to go on the air, but would you read what she said?
This is from Sherry out of Tennessee. And she okayed this. She okayed me to read this. And you're going to get a kick out of this.
Okay.
She said, Gloria Carter, rest in peace, was President Jimmy Carter's older sister and a friend of hers for many years. She had the best Harley line I've ever heard from a woman. All the little young girls that came to the runs would wear all their Harley gear and get all defensive. So I said, well, what was the rest of it? She writes back, about riding Harleys. Gloria had been a Harley rider for years. She looked them right in the eyes and said in that long southern drawl, well, honey, I don't grease my pussy with Harley oil.
Well, somebody's listening to you from Tennessee and want to share that with you.
Okay.
People that want to listen, and they are listening to you, and they're going to also archive the show in Europe and all that later on because they're sleeping now and all that. But we do get comments, and I can't always share that with the speaker now.
No.
That's always kind of a drag.
Exactly.
There's some interesting stuff that goes on.
Like right now, Brenda, we have a caller from Chicago. I'm gonna unmute him and let him introduce himself, and we'll see if he has any questions. Okay.
Wonderful. I appreciate that.
Okay. Hello, caller 773. Caller,
we can't hear you.
Caller.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing? Is this Terry?
Pretty good. Yeah, I'm in here with my girl. I was shopping for shoes. I should have brought my tent and a cooler.
Okay. So you got any questions for Brenda, or you just want to listen?
Not really. Just listening in for the most part. Happy to hear you guys have dialogue about the enjoyment of motorcycling and the part that women are having in it these days. Beautiful thing.
Terry, since you're going to be a little shy for some reason, let me say you're not just taking from motorcycles. You're giving back to motorcycles. What's one of the projects you're working on, sir?
That would be the Ride for Change, Ride for Hope, which is an ongoing awareness campaign focusing on issues significant to the community, we'd like to say. We had a successful event in Portsmouth, Virginia, culminating at Fort Monroe in Hampton, Virginia. The significance behind that location was that it was the location where African slaves first arrived here on this continent. And as we move forward, we just want to raise awareness about the location and celebrate the progress that we've made in this country. You know, along America's highways, we find that there's a lot of places of historical significance, whether they highlight people or just a particular location that something happened that changed the course of this country. And despite all of the challenges that we have in this country, we've always found a way to move forward. So that's what Ride for Change, Fight for Hope celebrates. While it helps us to appreciate that, you know, we can come together on all issues. It's just a matter of having dialogue on those issues.
There you go. All right,
hey, Terry, I'd like to have some dialogue about maybe helping me out with something. You know, I'm part of the motorcycling community, and I could use some support and help. Are you up for that?
I'm always up for helping people. That's why we started the World of Soul motorcycle community, so we could have a central location where we can come in and create some forums on issues that matter and get some feedback from people around the country on that issue, whatever it may be.
Well, I've been getting a lot of emails and messages and calls about a woman who is on your page who I personally had a very uncomfortable situation with, and I would really appreciate if you could help me resolve that situation so we could move through with some hope and with some change in a positive way where I can take my platform for what I do in women and motorcycling and move forward and get past that. And, you know, just so all these people are emailing me, your website, and I said, hey, I got to move forward with what I'm doing, but if you could help me out, you know, I would really appreciate that. Is that something you could do?
Well, I think what we encourage most when it comes to moments of conflict is that two people come together and really try to work out their issues before it makes.
Yeah, I don't have a moment of conflict at all. I have a moment of working for someone and not getting paid for the work I did, and when I have so many people messaging me in ways that I don't want to deal with. It's too negative for me. I think, you know, I hear someone like you who clearly is a spokesperson for a positive way of our motorcycle community building, you know, networking together. So I'd like to see if maybe if you can just come together and help me out, get this resolved in a peaceful, wonderful, positive way. and make a difference, and make a difference for my group. And I would love to be able to say, hey, Terry from World of Soul really helped me get this resolved, and I would like to end all these messages I keep getting on that positive note and end on a point of gratitude and appreciation that your motorcycling community helped us get this behind us.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and claim ignorance about the matter. You know, you and I have talked about this briefly. And we've taken some steps to get some dialogue going on that issue, and we did that. The fact of the matter is that it really takes those two people, though, to stay at the central point of those issues and not allow others to come in to the ring to create further conflict. And I think it's got kind of out of hand to that extent. To where it really calls for the two of you to really talk about this thing and to be patient with one another and to work with one another in the spirit of love and unity. Because
yeah, I'm with you. I'm having a hard time hearing you, though, but I liked what you said about the spirit of love and unity. That works for me. And I love to get things resolved. I love to get paid for my work, and I love to roll on at the roundup full throttle with my friends, the owner of San Diego Harley-Davidson, who's a big, big, big influential factor at the roundup up there, and all my Harley buddies that we're going to be up there with. And I'd like to feel really good about it kind of deal. And any help I can get and any help that creates more unity, you know, awesome, awesome. Yeah, so I really appreciate that, Terry.
Yeah, that's not a problem. At the same time, we want to move without the threat of being threatened, and it appears that it's gotten to that point. So it's really
Sorry, I didn't understand you. What did you just say?
I say it's gotten to the point where there's the threat of being threatened. I got an interesting message.
A threat of being threatened, not for me. Whoa, I don't know what you were talking about. For me?
I'm going to tell you. It was for someone else going by the name of people with Suzanne Moto something, but it was representative of the situation that was going on. And it was quite interesting because the person attributed the situation to the World of Soul motorcycle community because of the person who had the issue with being a member of an association, which in no way is indicative of the entire association. So that piece needs to kind of cease, and I don't know what's egging that on.
Wait, I can't hear you. You don't know what was that?
And there's been the threat of approaching some of our sponsors regarding that. So that type of behavior needs to cease. That's becoming what seems like may turn out to be a legal issue in the end.
You know what happens is I think what happens in the biker community, and I know that Bill and Phil are ones that are old school and go back to, you know, your word is your bond and this type of thing, is sometimes people want to help or they think they're being supportive and maybe they gang up in a negative way, which, of course, I don't condone. I don't want to do that at all, and I don't support that. So I will be sure that if I hear of anything like that, that I'll do everything I can to eliminate that. But
you know, we appreciate that because the other parties that are very innocent, such as our sponsors, don't deserve that. Neither do any of our other members that are not a party to the issue. But I do trust that, despite all things, that the issue that you're facing will be resolved and that you will be satisfied.
Well, I would love to be rolling with everyone. I was talking to, you know, my buddy who Bill knows quite well, New York Mike there, has been in on everything from before I started promoting a Vegas event to during it and after. And you know, we were talking about this and his involvement with the roundup and going back up there and this and that. And we'd like to just be rolling with everybody, enjoying our bikes, whatever they might be. Honda, Suzuki's, and I'd love to be on that Vincent Black Shadow, trust me, whatever it might be, just celebrating the fact that we can be out there on two wheels, that we're blessed enough to have the enjoyment of the freedom to be out there on two wheels, and just really have such a great old time coming from that kind of heartfelt joy. So that's where I'd like to be. And any help, and you know, if you roll alongside with us like that, that I would love that.
Well, I would love to be alongside you in the spirit of hope and change, and do hereby cordially invite you to join us on.
Oh, we lost him. Brenda?
Yeah, we lost him?
Yeah,
we
lost
him.
He faded out. We'll see if he calls back.
I got a really hard time hearing him. Really hard.
Difficult. Bad connection tonight out there for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, let's
yep.
hope he steps up to the plate, though. Let's hope that does get resolved. Best thing to do is keep working on the future, but you cannot ignore or forget the past. You got to clear everything up always, or else you have no name at all, no reputation.
Absolutely. And you know what? One of the things that is a role model for other women, and one of the things that I've been getting a lot of feedback on, is it's important for women themselves. It's very important. I think it's very important that you don't let yourself become a doormat. And if someone who you worked for, you know, does not pay you, or for my situation, you know, a non-sufficient fund check is against the law. So if someone does you wrong, that you stand up for yourself. That maybe this is something they just expect that I will just go away. No.
Yeah.
No.
If
no.
You take
you
them
can't.
To court, you get. If you follow through and you take them to court, you get all your expenses, you get three times the amount of the check, you get all kinds of stuff.
Well, it's better to resolve it, though,
exactly.
Now, one time.
One time, that's it.
Yep, yep.
We have a
yep.
caller from just outside of Hollywood that I'm going to bring in now.
Wonderful.
Hello, Kelly.
Hey, you guys can hear me?
Yes.
Kelly, you on air with Brenda? Can you hear Brenda?
I can hear Brenda great. How you doing,
hi,
Brenda?
Kelly.
I'm checking out your website. You got a lot going on, and I really, really appreciate the charity work you do. I know you're talking now about getting paid, but it's also nice when people like you go out and do stuff for charity. Do you have anything coming up that's charity-driven?
Absolutely.
Well, go ahead.
Absolutely, I do, and I appreciate that. And you know, one of the things I do have to tell you, Kelly, is that website was put up when I was really, really sick 3 years ago. And I cannot even get in my regular website. I cannot even get into it. It is such an embarrassment. And I have been through this website hell these past 2 months. So the new site's getting ready to launch, and it will be respectable. So please forgive how it looks now. It is embarrassing to me. And as for charity, absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to be the Grand Marshal of Seacoast Harley-Davidson's Big Breast Cancer Ride coming in October.
Right.
I'm tentative. I haven't – but until I get paid and I get a contract, the 9/11 ride should be excellent. But the thing that I am passionate about, I give 10% of every check that comes into, is – an animal rescue where I know every penny goes to help these animals, because when I was really, really sick, and I had wonderful breast cancer coverage through our system that was wonderful, but my little dog literally saved my life because I had no family support. And so I know the importance of these animals, so that's an ongoing thing with me all the time. And I also am very passionate about helping my friend Bobby and Lisa Seeger and helping them find the proper bone marrow donor for their little boy. And I am committed to helping them raise whatever kind of funds they need and helping them with their little boy's disease.
That's great. That's great. It's always good to help. You know, people, they give money to charity organizations that they don't really know, but to actually turn around and help your neighbor and the people you know is kind of what, you know, used to be more about, and that is a very healthy way of doing things, and so that's great.
You know what, Kelly?
You can get a hold of Bobby Seeger. I found out the address that most works the best is IndianLarryMotorcycles.com.
Absolutely, absolutely. The Seegers are wonderful. And one of the things with the Seegers, Kelly, one of the things I found with charities is about a year ago, when I got sick, I became a magnet for PR and publicity. and people wanting to use my situation for their own personal gain. And when I started looking at it, I said, hey, I helped raise $170,000 for a specific group. It was a breast cancer deal. And I thought, man, they got new Harleys. They're eating at the Four Seasons. Heck, I'm lucky if I go to the grocery store. I said, what's going on here? So the thing that I am very, very careful about, passionate about, and dedicated to is I support charities and events where I know where the money goes.
Right.
That was huge. Huge for
well,
me.
Well, yeah, I actually started a nonprofit 11 years ago for hepatitis C awareness. And my friend had hepatitis C. She passed away about, 10, 11 years ago. And I started this charity because, you know, I wanted the money that I raised to go directly to an awareness campaign. And that's exactly what I do. I can raise $5,000 and it can last me a whole year of awareness. And so I understand what you're saying. And then there's also there's organizations that have to have people on the books and they have to have people working for them because somebody's got to do the work. They can't all be volunteers like me. They really can't.
Absolutely.
I have a husband that really helps me pay my bills. So I am a very lucky person.
Can you find me one?
Yeah.
Forget the husband part. Go for the pay your bills part. That's the part
Sugar daddy.
Go for.
I know. It's like he loves to do charity, so I always try to tell him that whatever I do, you're doing 50% of that. So I've been really lucky and fortunate to be able to offer people, if they donate $50, that's going a long way. And but I do understand how charities work, and there are really good ones out there that, you know, they can't give everything because they do have to have office expenses and people.
Absolutely.
They do, but it's when they abuse that is ridiculous.
Well, I think what I found was people that were using it as a business opportunity, and
right.
I actually have a situation right now, actually. It ended up in a legal situation where I had a man call me up to be a spokesperson, but when I found the donations were going to his personal Facebook or his personal PayPal account, but it's a good point. Check out, whoever you are, check out, where the money is going kind of deal. And how awesome it is, Kelly, that you have that in you to be a give back person like that, because the world needs more of those type of people. Really
yeah,
does.
I think if people would do it, I always thought it's kind of like when I've seen people who, they don't understand charity. I don't have time. I'm the first to say I do have more time than a lot of my friends who are trying to support themselves. So, I'm a little different situation than they are. But when I say, if you just go down to a shelter, go down to it, especially animal shelters, I'm a big supporter of animal shelters. And if you could just go down for half a day, I used to walk pit bulls at a pit bull shelter, once on Sundays, and I tried to drag all my friends down. And when they spend just 4 hours doing that, it makes them feel better about themselves. So, in a way, it can be a selfish thing,
Well, I think
Kelly,
everybody
I'm
has
jump
something
in. This is
to
Bill
offer.
Kennedy. Doing with your husband is so important because my wife and I, we can't play racquetball together. She says that when I use spin, that's cheating. We can't shoot pool together because too much English. Over the course of years, we found we can compete very little against each other. However, we can go out and help our community. We can get involved in a charity together. We're on the same level. It makes our marriage better, makes our community better. So rather than doing events which require...
She's also a better cook than you are.
Oh, she can cook. I give her that there. But we need to find new ways for us to keep
right.
marriage and love going on. And for us, like your husband doing, getting involved in charities together. I find so many people, only one partner showing up. I think that's very good.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, excellent. Bill, you just get cooler the more we learn about you.
Hey, I got a little background information for you, Brenda.
Okay.
Kelly she happens to have a band, and I popped in one of her songs, and this is kind of appropriate along with the last half hour of talk. The name of the song is "Why Don't You Do Right." So let me play that. Let me play that, and then we'll come back to you guys. Okay.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want to ask, who's washing dishes?
That's funny.
Everything about you.
Brenda,
hey,
I just
know
everything
those
tunes.
Yes. Hey, and I have to be honest with you, okay? I didn't. I just showed this to Bill, and I said, you know, with the topic we're talking about for the last almost 45 minutes now, I pointed at this album. And I look, and it's Kelly's. It's called Kelly's Lot. It's pastrami and jam. I put it up in the chat room, and I went down the line of Strong's, and that one just popped right out at me.
It just seemed the shit to build tonight.
I love it.
Yeah, well, I think that song was that was the one that Jessica Rabbit did on Roger Rabbit, and it's more of a song, you know, it's a little sugar daddy song kind of. But now I'm going to listen to it in a whole new way after this, after you guys, you know, set it up that way. Now I'm going to look at it as like, why don't you do right, guys? Do right.
Well, we didn't set it up that way.
You know what, Kelly? That's a standard way of just doing your life. You know what? It's a standard way of do what you say you're going to do. Honor your commitment. Be truthful to yourself. Not hiding behind God. Not hiding behind, oh, I meant to. I should have my, you know, this type of thing. But it's more of a have self-honor and self-respect, but we all got our own thing going, and, you know, I'm having to realize there's some things I'm just not going to understand, so I got to quit trying to make sense out of some things that won't make sense, but I like that song.
That's an old song from the 30s, actually. It was written by Joe McCoy. And Peggy Lee did it, and a bunch of different people did it. It was made famous, I think, in Roger Rabbit. Remember the Roger Rabbit movie?
Yep, yeah, there's dog barking, too. I like that.
Oh, my dog. No, that's my dog. But, you know, I wanted to, you know, I was listening to you talk to the gentleman from Chicago, and, you know, back to what you just said, it's really important to discuss with people what's important to you. And the way you discuss that, I really don't know what the story is. I had no idea, but what I got out of it was you were, you know, you're speaking up for yourself. You were, in a way, confronting. It's, you know, confrontation is not a bad thing. So sometimes confronting an issue and talking about it to somebody, I mean, that to me is always the way to solve things. And a lot of people don't want to talk about it, but you were talking about it with class. Like I said, whatever the situation was, you were at class. You were saying, what can you help me with? This thing has to be resolved. And then I liked what he said, where he said it's up to you and that person to really work it out because, you know, in a way, that's usually how things get worked out.
I appreciate that, Britt. I think the next step is talk is cheap, action speak. And
you're right.
You know, this is true. And sadly, I trusted talk, and then things got completely spun around in me asking to be paid for the work I did that I was causing her stress. Excuse me. My girl spent her whole Easter working on this thing, promoting this thing. We drove four to 5 hours to get there, and then was to my face, oh, I'm so sorry. Please, 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 I'm so sorry. Forgive me. So, if someone can help, don't talk. Don't talk, show me. It's kind of like when somebody runs around with, you know, and they change their name to, hey, I'm Chopper Queen, and they don't even have their own name anymore. You know, it's a narcissistic point of view. It's like you have to be something else that you're just talking about, because if you're authentically it, you don't have to tell everybody you're the coolest, the neatest, the hottest thing, because your actions speak louder than your words.
Right.
Just so everybody understands this, okay? That wasn't a setup call or anything.
We didn't know he was calling. Yeah.
We didn't know was calling in. I just called Brenda 5 minutes before we went on the air and asked her if she wanted to call in.
Yeah,
and
you know, Bill.
He came in about 15 or 20 minutes
after. I normally have physical therapy and can't call in. It just so happened that I happened to cancel. So it all just kind of unfolded. But that's kind of how life is, you know? You can be riding your bike down somewhere, you don't really know where you're going, you end up taking, you know, a turn to the left, and it ends up being cooler than you ever expected or something, you know? You just go with it.
Oh, yeah. You know, Brendan, one thing you were saying, I'm hearing a lot of different opinions. Only a handful of people know this, but I am starting to phase this down a little bit. I do motorcycle club interventions. There are times when one club is so sure they're right, and the other club is so sure they're right, they need to bring somebody like me in, so we can lay everything out on the table and have both people look at the picture and have a third person say, you are so fully committed that you're right, you're not paying attention to the other person. In this case over here, you have to realize that you are wrong and you are right. I always wait and try to have the clubs work them out. In the end, sometimes I got to put my foot down and say, and I have no political or power to stop these clubs from doing anything, but they're coming to me because they don't want to go to war. And sometimes you got to lay it out and have another person say, if you can't see this, I'm going to point this out to you. In this case, you were wrong and you were right. Let's settle this today and get on before we leave the room. So sometimes one-on-one just doesn't cut it.
Well, and the other thing, too, Bill, first off, let's give you props for being in a position where they have enough respect for you to come to you with that, because that's an earned deal. That's something you earn. That, you know, for them to come to you with that, which that's really cool. But the other thing is, I have a group of 200,000 motorcyclists. So, you know, this one, this fat one don't like the skinny one. The skinny one don't like the hot. I mean, whatever it is. So I definitely know what it's like to go in there and referee or play marriage counseling, whatever it is. But the other thing that I'm very, very strong about is standing up for yourself. When you did more than what was expected of you, when you offered more and gave more than what was your initial agreement, and then it comes back to you where you end up being screwed. The girl that worked for you gets screwed. All this kind of stuff happens. It's like, no, I will not be a doormat. I will not go away. I will claim what is rightfully mine. And that has to do with standing up for yourself, too. And what I find, like some of these women, maybe they're just starting to ride their bike and they're getting out on the road and there's a car coming and they don't feel safe, whatever it might be. I'll be like, do what's safe. Do what's safe. You know what? Maybe you're on the other side of the road for now. I don't care if that was the safest part of the road. Sometimes you don't have to follow. Sometimes you have to step outside the box. And
And
in this situation, it's like maybe a lot of people cave and they say, or they back down. But absolutely no, when you have rightfully done what you know that you have done, you stand up for yourself. You have your own self-respect. This isn't about money. This is about self-respect and honor and trust, the word meaning nothing. And
Brenda, I had to laugh a little bit when the guy from Chicago said you were throwing some low-key threats out.
That was completely false. I mean, I don't know what crack pipe that guy smoked. I mean, I had a hard phone connection, but to have him say that to me is disrespectful.
Well, actually, Brenda, he doesn't know.
But you do have enough hardcore connections, friends of yours, and yet you're not reaching out to them. You're solving this yourself. You could pick the phone up and reach some of our mutual friends and say, you know what, this has done wrong, but could you help me? But you're not. You're saying, I want to try to work this out.
I think that he was saying what I heard him very clearly, and I think what he was saying was that he didn't say she did that.
Okay.
Somebody that she knows, or that she knows. He didn't even say that. He said basically that somebody on her side, if there are two sides here, that's how he said it. He didn't say she did it.
Well, because the thing is, Kelly, and Bill knows this, if I had reached out to my connection, there would be no talk about it. This would be done.
Okay, all right.
No.
I understand.
We wouldn't be discussing this. But what I did, and because just so happened, yesterday I was with a journalist all day from a lifestyle magazine. I got a glamour magazine coming out and this Moxie magazine, which is about power and strength. And one of the biggest things that I stand for is courage and strength. And that might be a health issue. Well, you don't think you can make it through. It might be holding up, a 600-700-pound Harley, or it might be standing up for yourself. But as a representation, and if this is what these girls are looking up to me for, you're damn straight. I'm going to fight my own battle. I'm not going to, I do know a lot of people. Absolutely, I do. But this is a situation where I will stand up for myself. I will not back down, and I will not have to hear weird, funky, weird stuff. You know, she's calling on her connections. Bullcrap.
Brenda,
if I called
really
on my connections, there wouldn't be a conversation.
I want you to know that Evil E from London, he's in Jamaica. He wants to get on, but he can't get in on that. So we also, I know I was going to say, but Evil E's contact is in Jamaica right now. Terry just got back online again from Chicago. He wants to ask you a few more questions. Terry, you're live? Got Kelly, we got everybody. Brenda, you're live. Terry, go ahead. Terry. That was short. You lost him again?
No, he's there.
Terry, you want to jump in or you want to hear? You want to listen?
Can you
Terry,
hear
you're live. We got Kelly and Brenda.
Excellent.
Hey.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
I want to apologize. My phone died, so I was in the process of inviting a friend of Fox to come out and join us on August the 4th in Las Vegas, Nevada for the Ride for Change, Ride for Hope. It will be a great way to publicly display that we can, in fact, move together on issues significant to the community, especially as it relates to a conflict resolution, because I'm sure by that time, if it's not resolved, it will be resolved on that day.
Terry, I really appreciate that. I appreciate because you know what it is, Terry? and we were talking about this when your phone was disconnected, was talk is talk, but actions speak. Actions walk. And this situation is just an example. If, you know, situations are always going to come up. You know what? It's not that you crash your bike. It's how you pick it back up and how
you
roll together. We have a place here. We have a place here. It's called the Rock Store. And on Sundays, it's really crowded. And what's really trippy to watch is you'll see someone drop their bike, and there's people that run up to help. There's people that laugh, and there's people who just stand and don't crap. Well, to me, life isn't a spectator sport. You know, I could be the one dropping the bike, or I'd be the one picking up the bike. But I'm certainly not, you know, I'm not going to stand on the sidelines like that. So I appreciate you being a participant and helping us out. That's awesome. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, whatever we can do, whatever we all can do.
Gary, did you hear a little bit of Kelly's music at all? Did you get lost
no.
on that? You can catch it out there. Kelly's music going to be on next week?
Kelly will be on Tuesday.
Yeah, I hope you can hear that, Terry, with that.
No, I'll have to come back and join you then, guys.
Okay. Kelly's got some outstanding pipes on the air there. A little confused about the dogs in the background, but I guess that worked out okay.
Wait, hold up. Was that Kelly singing?
I was listening.
Yes, that was Kelly singing.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on, girlfriend. Hold on, girlfriend. That was awesome.
A pop, two, three.
And that was my soft side.
Oh, good. We gotta come watch you at one of your gigs or something.
You
that
know,
was
actually,
awesome. Gary, you missed a good song. She was awesome.
Here's what we'll do.
What?
Kelly, I'm holding the album. I'm holding the CD cover in my hand. If you wanted these guys to hear the best song you ever sang, which one of these 10? Which one would it be?
Oh,
let us know, girl.
But
do you
want to
read the titles?
No. I'm just saying, I don't know, there's so many different styles, but, you know, I mean, they're all riders, there's a good, oh, I don't know, what, you know, House of the Rising Sun is so great, but it's long.
Give us something that we can introduce to the world of soul motorcycle community, anything.
You know what, play Nobody Here But Me, because that's about being responsible for yourself, exactly what, you know, Brenda's been talking about. It's an original song I wrote, it's called Nobody Here But Me.
You got it.
Sounds good.
Well, listen a little bit here now to the lady with the pipes.
Here we go.
Thank you.
remember being that kid that looked alive through a crystal ball and climbed every tree I was chained up on. When I know she's there, I can feel a smile. She comes alive inside of me every once in a while. You know, I think I gotta bring that child home to stay. Oh yeah, it's the only way. Ain't nobody here. Ain't nobody right here. Ain't nobody here but me. Nobody here but me, baby.
Awesome. Thanks,
awesome.
Brenda. Thanks.
That's okay, for you,
buddy. That's for you.
Hang on. There you go. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's all right. That's Route 66.
Kelly, do you play in L.A. anywhere?
Oh, yeah. We. In fact, I was going to say, I'm going to send you all an invite. I am organizing a benefit for the City of Hope. My friend Lori, who is the president of the Los Angeles Blues Society, was diagnosed with breast cancer about a month ago, and she went in. They took out the tumor,
and
she's in stage 1A. So they got it real early.
Thank you, God.
And I was going to do this charity for her to pay her bills, but what happened, because she is her age, she was able to get Medicare, I think, or Medicaid. And City of Hope said that she's not going to get a bill. And so we didn't have to raise money to pay her bills. So we decided to raise money for City of Hope for taking care of Lori.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's so awesome.
It's going to be 6 blues bands. We got R&B Bombers. They're out of Ventura. They're wonderful. Teresa James. You must know Teresa James, one of the best blues singers out there. Delgado Brothers are playing. Kelly's Lot, which is my band, One Bluzo. It's a great, great band, and Blues Straight Up. And they're all playing for free. Every penny from the $10 goes straight to the City of Hope.
Did you send me the flyer?
Yeah, it's August 28th, and I'll send all of you guys a flyer and an email.
Kelly, do you ride?
I used to ride on my own, but now I just ride behind my husband. One of my questions to you was, how do you focus on bike? Because my problem always, I didn't focus enough, and I just feel because of my problem, it got dangerous for me to be on a bike.
Wait, the phone cut out. What did you say? How do I do what?
How do you focus? I mean, I don't ride myself. I can. I have ridden bikes. I had my own bike for a while, 20 years ago.
You know what, Kelly? Even riding on, let me tell you, when I speak at women's events, a lot of women don't ride their own bikes, and they ride on the back.
Right.
And let me tell you, if I had someone I wanted to hang on to, I'd be on the back.
I agree.
I love riding on the back, and it's all good. You're out there in the wind, and one of the big things about my website that I really promote is, yes, there's a lot of I promote women that ride themselves, and I encourage that, but trust, that's not for everybody. It is not for everybody, but riding on the back, it's awesome. You're out there on two wheels, enjoying the ride, and so it's all good, and you might not even ride at all. Maybe you're thinking about it, and I can remember I was traveling, and I was stuck in the Denver airport that I hate. And to the right of me, I had a woman that came up and talked to me, and she didn't ride, but her son rode, her husband rode. She told me all the stories of them riding, and she had on, it was a Billy Lane T-shirt, an older woman. She was really cool. And then on the other side of me, I had the lady that worked for the IRS. Well, who would you rather be sitting next to, So it's all good. It's all good.
Well, I was last.
We got a couple of people that might have some questions. Let me bring them in. Hello, caller on 111 Skype.
Come on, talk to us. Any questions for the ladies?
You're live.
Hey,
one,
Billy?
Two. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, is that Evil Lee calling from London?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. You got any questions for the ladies? Or you just want to listen right now?
I'm just listening right now, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna go to the next caller. We'll be back.
Eva Lee, 1 second, though. What time is it in London right now, sir? Your time?
3:45 in the morning.
4 in the morning. Thank you, brother. Who else do we got out there?
All right, we'll be back in a second. Hello, 323.
Hey, you're live. We want to listen to you. Hello?
Hi, this is Carolyn Washington, Roy Gaines' daughter. How are you all doing?
Hey, we're doing good. How are you?
Good. Wow, I just want to say hello to everyone.
Hello.
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 We have... Brenda Fox on the line. We have Kelly from Kelly's Lot. We have you now, Carolyn. And we have Terry calling from Chicago. We have Eva Lee calling from London. And we got Art just listening in the weeds in Poway.
Okay, well, I like your conversation about the motorcycles, riding the motorcycles. I never have ridden on one because I'm afraid.
And what was it about the show that drew you to calling in on this show?
What did you say?
I said, what was it about the show that captured your attention, you know, to listen in and call in on the show?
Well, I was calling in to say hi to Phil and to let all Roy Gaines fans know that he's going to be interviewed on Phil's show on the 14th at 6 p.m., and then I was listening to your conversation about the motorcycles. I mean, I think that's neat that women ride motorcycles, but I'm afraid to ride a motorcycle. So you guys are some strong women to even ride on the back.
Well, you know what? A lot of people are. You know, you're not the only one. And you know, and you don't try to be an apple don't try to be an orange. And you know what makes you happy. And whatever it is that makes you happy, that's what you should do. And you,
hello.
Yep, just enjoy it. And if you don't, what I find, particularly women whose husband just gets a new bike, and they're not comfortable riding on the back, and they think they should be. And it's like, if it's for you, if you enjoyed it full throttle, awesome. But if you don't, you don't have to. You don't have to. And you know what? You are so cool and awesome just how you are, even if you don't ride.
Well,
that's right.
I just wanna tell you a little bit about Carolyn, Brenda. What she does, she has I guess it's a foundation, and it's called Blue Schools. And what it is her dad goes into the schools and teaches the kids about the blues.
See, she is cooler. See how cool she is?
Her dad is great. I love Roy Gaines. He's amazing.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Well, we want you all to call in next week on the 14th and talk to him and ask him all kind of questions about his life and his career so you all can know more about him.
You got it.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Carolyn, before you get off, I want to say something that's very important. If you're not comfortable on the back of the motorcycle, it's the driver's. He's irresponsible. He's immature. He gives you no confidence. If you're on the back of the motorcycle and the driver is confident, you absorb that confidence. If he's
absolutely
irrational, immature, you'll pick that up too. I hear many people say, I'll never ride in the back of the bike. And I say, how many times you ridden? One time. I'm telling you,
wow.
I rode with the wrong person. The right person may be out.
Well, I've never got
like,
on one because I'm afraid.
Because
well,
if you rode with the wrong person.
Have you ever been on one or no?
No, that's the issue here. No, I've never been on one.
We can arrange a ride for you. But,
you can ride on my husband. He's a good rider.
Yeah, well,
and,
good rider.
And
that
what I wanted to elaborate on was Kelly called in, I think, last week or the week before.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly. But she asked Bill this question. Okay, Bill, how do I sit on the back of the bike? How do I enjoy the ride? Bill, what did you tell her?
We talked about that again. This is the second part of the Kennedy Triangle. The right backrest, the right seat, and the right foot pegs, or in this case here, maybe even mini floorboards. You have to have your back secured all the way up to where your bra strap level is. This seat has to be wide enough to support both bones in your butt. I don't care if you're 100 pounds, 300 pounds. You have two bones each side of your cheek. That must be supported or it'll cause irritation. And then the right angle for the foot pegs or floorboards. It's Kennedy's Triangle 1, Kennedy's Triangle 2. I guarantee you, you love to ride motorcycles.
And the reason Bill told her that is he also told her she needs to become, they both need to become one.
Yes.
And they'll enjoy the ride better.
You're kind of a stop sign.
When you're saying you don't know how to focus, well, just like Bill said, become one. And in once you do that, once you've accomplished that part, you'll enjoy the ride a lot better.
When the driver comes to a stop sign or traffic light, the passenger has to put the weight beyond the rear axle. They need to lean on the driver. The
right.
light turns green, they take yeah. off. By the time the driver shifts to second gear, the passenger can lean back on the backrest. But coming to a stop and taking off, the motorcycle, the driver, and the passenger must act as one. And when you lean way back, it's like I say doing the Watusi. I see people going down the road, the bikes are shaking all over. And not acting as one. Obviously, you've not ridden with guys with long gray hair. I know the problem right away. I can see the problem from here. Can me, little girl.
And we have another caller. This guy's calling out of Boston. Let me bring him on. Hello, Pete.
Hi, guys.
Hey,
how you doing, Pete?
Hello.
Sorry, I'm late. I had to see my mom, and then I went to dinner with some friends, and I did some filming on my new film. So
okay.
I just barely made the show. But I made sure I called in.
Okay. What we're going to do is I'm gonna mute you back, and then just before we go, we got about 15 minutes left. If it carries over, it carries over. It's
all right,
no problem. It'll be but I'm gonna mute you, and then if... before we go off, I'll bring everybody back on, okay? Because some people are feeding back and some aren't.
Pete, I want you to follow through on Brenda Fox. Read about this lady, a friend of ours in the motorcycle industry, female icon, young lady, but class act. I want you to follow up on that when you get a chance, okay? And I'll talk to you next week about that.
Brenda Fox?
Hey, that's me.
Oh, hi.
Yeah,
hey. Okay, yeah. I'll do that.
Brenda, this is out of Boston. We have Kelly from L.A. We have Carolyn from L.A. We have Art out of Pule. Pule.
Wow.
And I was corrected on that. That's the pronunciation. And we have Eva Lee from London right now.
Cool.
You know, I never know. How's that guy stay awake till 4 o'clock in the morning every one of our shows?
Coffee.
Vegetarian or one of those things. I don't know.
You can ask
him. Always
he's
there.
You can ask him. He's unmuted.
He wants to listen to that, he said.
Okay.
That,
okay. How do I stay awake? Tea, not coffee.
Oh, sorry. You are in London. Sorry.
It must be because our interesting guest, because it's not you and I interesting enough to keep him awake at that time of the morning.
You never know, Bill.
Brenda, be careful. Pete out of Boston is another East Coast thuggy. Be careful.
Awesome.
You know what Boston guys are, so be careful that one.
Will do.
All right. What I'm going to do is I'll let you guys talk. Carolyn, you want to tell us a little bit about that Blue Schools, and then if Brenda or Kelly have some questions, we can answer them.
Yeah, maybe we try to catch up to Kelly's little get-together.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I have a Blue Schools program, and I started it in 2001 by going to Audubon and other schools and researching and finding out that a lot of students did not know of, and still don't know of, B.B. King, Buddy Guy, Roy Gaines, Etta James. They're not educated about any of the blues artists, so they barely know of the artists. And so what I started doing was going to the schools and talking to the music teacher and the music students, and then I would set up projects where kids would go and actually see a live concert with B.B. King, Buddy Guy, Roy Gaines, and so on, at the Greek Theater or the Cerritos Center or the Hollywood Bowl, and then they would go backstage and meet and greet with those artists, and then those artists would talk to them and share their life, some of their life stories, but the kids got to interview the artists at the same time backstage and ask them questions, and then the artists would also give them, like, B.B. King would give the kids pictures, buttons, and then Buddy Guy, he gave the kids, he's on Civitone Records, so he gave the kids photos and his CD, which was at the time Sweet Tea, which is on Civitone Records. And then he would sign all the kids' CDs, or he would sign their tickets. And at that time, Buddy Guy had paid for the tickets for the kids to come and do the meet and greet with him at the Greek Theater, which was very nice. And I would go out and get the bus and the food for the kids, because a lot of kids, they didn't have food, you know, wouldn't have food to eat, plus it was after school, and then they couldn't afford the tickets or transportation. So I would have everything set up for the kids. And then sometimes I would get the bus from council member Bernard Parks or ex-council member Nate Holden, or if they didn't want to do that. I mean, if I didn't want to make those type of arrangements, then I would get the buses, like, donated from, like, Holly Davidson or Conroy's Flowers shop here in Los Angeles. And then I would set up projects where Ike Turner and my father would go to different schools and do meet and greets, as well as talk to the kids about blues music. And then he would perform for the kids, Ike and my father. And then Ike Turner, each school that he had gone to at the time, he would donate a guitar to each of the schools.
Carolyn.
Huh?
Can I interrupt you for 1 second? Kelly, you have to go?
Yeah, I do, actually. I'm just giving you guys Kelly's Lot at AOL.com. It's a Y, K-E-L-L-Y-S-L-O-T. I know about Carolyn. I've heard about you through the Blues Society.
Oh, okay. Thank
you. Yeah, doing some great work. Very, very great. I'm really, really happy to hear you're out there doing that.
Thank you.
And Kelly, you're going to be on next Tuesday.
Okay.
Send me info, Kelly.
I will. What's your? How do I get a hold of you?
Go to my website.
Facebook.
Women Motorcyclists. You can send it to info@womenmotorcyclist.com.
All right, you got it.
Okay. Hey, guys, right. I got to check out to myself, so I want to thank you for the opportunity to connect with you all, and what a great show you all are doing. And thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a
you
nice
know,
evening.
Buddy, my stomach's getting great. Trudeau's going to hang on a bit longer, talk with everybody. I'm going to sign off. My stomach's grumbling. Good night, everybody. But hang in there. You want screwed. I was right here. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, Pete and Evil E, these guys are still live.
Yep.
Hey, Evil E, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Sup?
Taking care of yourself?
What's up, man? What's up?
All good. How you keeping, anyway?
I'm busy.
Hey, you guys, we're down to 90 seconds. So what I'm going to ask you to do is next Tuesday, we're going to have Kelly on. We're going to feature her blues. And what I'd like you to do is, I hate to do this to you because I really enjoy your guys' conversations, and we all learn a lot sharing. But I'd like you to be patient, and please be here on Tuesday.
I'll be there.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, man. Anytime.
I'm sorry,
you got here late.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No worries.
See you Tuesday, man.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. You're welcome.
All right, good night, guys. Art, a pleasure as always.
All right, have a good one.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Still there, Philip?
Yeah, man, I'm getting ready to sign off right now. But like I said, give me a call Saturday.
All right, yeah.
All right, man. They're going to cut us off in 10 seconds. So I'll talk to you Saturday. All right, good night.
Good night.